A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Eruvin Mem, Eruvin 40A, pagination page 79. But we're going to do a quick overview and a little bit of learning on the facing page. So you'll recall that on Erevin Lamites, yesterday's daf, 39a, we encountered a fascinating case where Rosh Hashanah, even though it's 2 days, and theoretically Sveika de Yoma because of a case of doubt, nevertheless, it's considered Yoma Arichta, one long day, and you can't play the game, so to speak, of, I know one day is the real day, Rosh Hashanah, and the other is not, so let me be able to straddle the fence. Something that happens on day one, I should be able to do differently on day two, because either today is the real day of Kedusha, holiness, or yesterday was the real day of Kedusha, holiness. So the Mishnah, for example, on Amud Aleph, proposed that perhaps you could make an Erev that's different, day one to day two. You could have an Erev to the east on day one, an Erev to the west on day two of Rosh Hashanah, and Rabbi Yossi objected. V'lo hodu lo chachamim. The sages did not agree, because they held that Rosh Hashanah is one long day. Likewise, if you have, for example, an egg that's laid on first day Yom Tov, whether it's Rosh Hashanah or a different day Yom Tov, just to appreciate the case, the argument might be, I don't know which day is the real day Yom Tov, but only one of them is the real day Yom Tov. So if the egg is laid on the first day Yom Tov, either today is Yom Tov and tomorrow is weekday, or today is weekday and tomorrow is Yom Tov. Either way the argument goes, I should be allowed to use this egg on second day Yom Tov. Because either it was laid on the Yom Tov and today is weekday, and everybody knows that a Sunday after a Shabbos, for example, you're allowed to use things that happened, or the other way around, it was laid on a weekday, the equivalent of a Friday, and now it's Shabbos, why can't I use it? And this is the argument to whether you could straddle the fence when you're dealing with 2 days Yom Tov. The problem that you're encountering, though, keep in mind, particularly when it is a non-Jew that's doing it for you on the first day Yom Tov, and you want to make this argument that he did it for me on first day Yom Tov, but either the first day is Yom Tov or the second day is Yom Tov, but not both, so he did it for me on first day Yom Tov, I should be able to use it on second day Yom Tov, or he did it for me on first day Yom Tov, which is really weekday, and I'm going to use it on second day Yom Tov, which is really Yom Tov, the real Yom Tov. The problem is that if you're dealing with a non-Jew, what is the reason that a non-Jew is not allowed to do it for you? Not because intrinsically he's not allowed to do malacha. The reason a non-Jew is not allowed to do malacha for you is because we're worried you're going to ask him next time to do the malacha in the same type of case. So on a non-Jew, you really don't have this lenient logic necessarily, because even though you may be right, either first day is Yom Tov or second day is Yom Tov, but not both, that's your argument. But as far as you're asking a non-Jew next time to do it for you, it's forbidden, both on first day and on second day, because you're not allowed to ask somebody it's only after the fact that you could start making this argument, well, either today was weekday or tomorrow's weekday. That's all very nice. But initially, you're not allowed to ask the non-Jew on what is being observed as first day Yom Tov to do something for you. The topic is, as you can tell, quite complex. You're considering all kinds of areas that we're willing to be as lenient as possible but you can't go over the line. So you're dealing with second day Yom Tov, you're dealing with non-Jew doing malacha for you, which is not the primary case of prohibition. You're the one who's prohibited. He's just an extension of that. And you're also sometimes dealing with techumen, which also has its degree of leniencies, because it's not that he actually cut something for you on Yom Tov from attached to the ground. He's just bringing you something that was cut. So each one of these cases, there are a bunch of considerations, and we have to just methodically go through them. As we're learning the Gemara, I'm just looking to highlight how it will play itself out in halacha, what the ramifications are, even if we can't actually give the rulings. Let's begin in the middle of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, 39b, pagination 78. The first words on the line are Tovim Shel Galios, and then we begin. Hahu Bar Tavya, there was a deer. The Asa Levei Resh Galusa, that was brought to the home of the Resh Galusa, he was like the equivalent of the prince or king in Babylonia.
But he was Jewish, right?
Yeah. The Itzid B'Yom Tov Rishon Shel Galios, it was trapped on the first day of Yom Tov in Galus, the way we observe that the first day Yom Tov is first day Yom Tov. V'ishtachit b'Yom Tov Sheini, and they went ahead and shecht it on second day Yom Tov. So you're not allowed to catch on first day Yom Tov, but it was caught. It was caught. However it got caught, it's irrelevant to us. By second day Yom Tov, you're already playing this straddle the fence game where either first day is Yom Tov or second day is Yom Tov. So it was not caught in prohibition by the time you're on second day Yom Tov, because you could assume either we observed first day Yom Tov and I waited until it could be trapped now and now I'm shechting it on second day Yom Tov, or if you want to argue, well, maybe first day wasn't even Yom Tov. So they want to shecht it on Yom Tov, and that's what they do. Rav Nachman v'Rav Chista achlu, Rav Nachman and Rav Chista ate, Rav Sheshes lo achal, Rav Sheshes didn't eat. Didn't want to eat from the deer because he was worried that it's all Yoma Arichta, one long day. Now the case that they were dealing with was not Rosh Hashanah. The case that they were dealing with was a regular Yom Tov. You'll drop down after the whole discussion to five lines from the bottom, at the end of the line, Moda Rabbi Yossi b'shnei yamim tovim shel galios. Rabbi Yossi, who objected in the Mishnah in the case of Rosh Hashanah, agrees by regular Yom Tov that you're allowed to do this type of calculation. Either today is Kodesh or tomorrow is Kodesh, but they're not really both Kodesh, and therefore you could figure out to use things that occurred on day one and use them on day two, because there was enough time for it, even though I don't know which day is weekday, but there's enough time for it to be weekday, and I can use it. So the first approach to this story, where Rav Sheshes objected from eating, was a case of actual malacha, not tchumen, which is a little bit more lenient, but trapping. And he objected because he thought that Rabbi Yossi would stand his ground even by regular Yom Tov. And we found out Rabbi Yossi only stands his ground and objects by Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is one long day. Even in the Beis HaMikdash it was observed as two-day Yom Tov. So that's just the way Rosh Hashanah works out, that it's considered Yom Tov for both days. The Gemara continues and tells us on the last line, same story, but a different rendition of what happened, what malacha they were worried about. Ahu bar tavya, last line on the page, lav itzu de itzid, it had nothing to do with trapping. Onto today's daf mem, ela michutz l'tchum asa. The problem was that the venison, the meat, was brought from outside of the tchum. So suddenly this becomes extremely relevant in our minds It has to do with all the mail carrier questions. If you get your Jewish periodical actually getting delivered once it's already Yom Tov, second day Yom Tov, is it different than first day? Right? It's being brought michutz l'tchum. Man de ochal, the one who ate from the meat, savar habamishvul yisrael zemutal yisrael acher. He holds that if it's brought for one Jew, a different Jew can eat it. The Jew it was brought for cannot eat it, but a different Jew is allowed to eat it. Oman de lo ochal, and the one who didn't eat, savar, he held, called the ose leve resh galusa, anything that's brought to the Resh Galusa's home, adaita dekula rabbanan osi, they know that he has a communal meal, and when they bring it for him, they mean me too, and therefore no one can eat. So even though Tchum has this leniency that if it wasn't brought for you, you could be lenient, but it was brought for you. The Mishnah Berurah has a fascinating discussion. The Mechaber writes that if it's brought for a homeowner, so all of his dependents, I don't know if it's IRS dependents, I don't know how it works exactly, right? But all of his dependents, the people that normally eat with him, are included and they're all forbidden, just like he's forbidden. The non-Jew brought it for him, so that means they brought it for his wife and his children, right? Mr. Brewer continues and says, if he has steady guests, so they're also included. He brought it for them too, because they're steady guests. He goes on and says, but if you invited guests after the item arrived, new guests, guests that don't always eat by you. So the Mishnah says, you could be makel on that. You could be lenient, because it wasn't brought for them. But that all starts from this statement, that even though it was brought for the Resh Galusa, but they know that he has a grand party, and therefore it's considered having been brought for everyone. Let's squeeze in one more case. Drop a line down at the end of a line. Hahu lifta, there was a turnip. The osi lemechuza, that was brought to the city of Mechuza. Nofak Rava, so Rava went out. Chazya dikimisha, he saw that it was dried, it was withered. Shara Rava lemizven minei, so he said, you can use it. It was brought on Yom Tov, but it's dried.
What was it?
Turnip.
Turnip.
A vegetable. Omar, he said, Havada me esmol nekra. There's no question that it was brought, that it was cut at least yesterday, if not even more days before, because it's already dried. My amrit, so what are you worried about? Mechutz l'tchum asya. It came from outside of the tchum. So he says, but we know there's a leniency. Haba b'shvil Yisrael zeh, if it was brought for one Jew, mutalecho l'Yisrael acher, a different Jew is allowed to eat it. For koshekin hai, and certainly this case, the adaita denachrim asa, it was brought for the non-Jews. It wasn't brought for us. It's on the open market. So if you could get a non-Jew to give it to you on credit or something like that, or he gives it to you as a gift, however you do it, so you could use these turnips, he's saying, because as far as cutting it, it wasn't cut recently. And as far as tchum goes, it wasn't brought for you. It was brought for the general market. Kevan de Chaza, once he saw the kamapshi, that they're bringing a lot, or maisi luhu, and bringing, because now they could accommodate the Jewish need, asaluhu, then he forbade it. Because even if they don't know which Jew they're bringing for, but they're bringing for the Jewish market. This is the case, for example, that I gave you of Dunkin' Donuts. If it has a Hechsher and everything's good, but Motzoi Shabbos of Hanukkah, they're producing an inordinate number of Hanukkah donuts. For who? For us. Motzoi Shabbos. You want to go straight from Shul on Matzei Shabbos to pick up donuts for your Hanukkah party, and there are 20 cars behind you doing the same thing. So even though you're not picking them up on Shabbos, I understand, but it was produced by the non-Jew specifically for you on Shabbos, even though it's not specifically for you, but it's for the Jewish market. And that's all an extension of this piece of Gemara. Yeshu Koach, have a great day.